This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Monday. So here's what we have on tap this hour. Democrats are kind of revealing their plans. Shouldn't be surprising. Won't be surprising to you, but it's something we should talk about. We're going to get to that this hour. I think Trump is understandably pretty stressed. We're going to talk about that here in a few. But before we talk about any of that, let's talk about Medal of Honor. Heroism. Let's talk about Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, every time somebody earns the Medal of Honor, they get a write-up. And every Monday at the start of the second hour, we do Medal of Honor Monday. We find one of these write-ups, a citation it's called, and we read about it. You can do this. All of these are free. It's wildly entertaining, I should note. These are all stories that sound like an action movie. And you can do this with your family, with your workplace. If you're a teacher, with your students, read stories of heroism. That's how you breed a new generation of heroes, by doing this. And you can email us on top of your love, your hate, your death threats, and anything else. You can email us ones you love, if you're related to them or just like them or whatever. Jesse, Medal of Honor Monday says, two suggestions, Private Joe P. Martinez from the Battle of Attu from Medal of Honor Monday. All right. So what did this Joe P. Martinez do? He was born in Taos, New Mexico in 1920. Let's find out.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty in action with the enemy, over a period of several days, repeated efforts to drive the enemy from a key position high in the snow-covered precipitous mountains between east arm of Holt's Bay and Chigogoff Harbor had failed. On the 26th of May, 1943, troop dispositions were readjusted and a trial coordinated attack on this position by a reinforced battalion was launched. Initially successful, the attack hesitated. In the face of several hostile machine gun, rifle, and mortar fire, Private Martinez, an automatic rifleman, rose to his feet and resumed his advance. Occasionally, he stopped to urge his comrades on. His example inspired others to follow. After a most difficult climb, Private Martinez eliminated resistance from part of the enemy position by bar fire and hand grenades, thus assisting the advance of other elements. This success only partially completed the action. The main Holt's Chigogoff Pass rose above 150 feet higher, flanked by steep rocky ridges, and reached a snow-filled defile. Who wrote this thing? Passage was barred by enemy fire from either flank and from tiers of snow trenches in the front. Despite these obstacles and knowing of their existence, Private Martinez again led the troops on and up, personally silencing several trenches with bar fire and ultimately reaching the pass itself. Here, just below the knife-like rim of the pass, Private Martinez encountered a final enemy-occupied trench, and as he was engaged in firing into it, he was mortally wounded. The pass, however, was taken, and its capture was an important preliminary to end the organized hostile resistance of the island. A lot of people do not know the Japanese seized control of Alaskan Islands during the World War II in the Pacific, by the way, and Private Martinez gave his life for this country. Rest in peace, brother. All right. So before we get into Democrats, I wanted to talk about something. And I wanted to remind you and encourage you again right now to please pray for these Iran negotiations. It is really, really, really important economically, politically, maybe militarily, but I think we'll be fine there. It's very, very, very important that these negotiations are successful. Donald Trump knows this full well. You can tell by how he's saying things publicly, by what he's saying publicly. This is one of those moments where there is a lot on the line. And I find these moments to be so fascinating. I think a lot of people do. That's why you can read about these moments in so many books and things like that. But historically, I tell you something I think about a lot. We'll talk about maybe an ancient battlefield. We'll make it an ancient battlefield where you're some conquering general and you're standing there with your army. And the opposing army, they're sitting over there. And maybe it's right before the battle or maybe the battle just kicks off, but how are you feeling when you know the outcome of this thing is probably everything? What kind of stress and pressure is that? If this thing goes well and you win and you rout the enemy, they are going to write your name in the history books. But if you lose, if this thing goes poorly, you might lose everything. Everything you've ever dreamt of, everything you've ever worked for, and it comes down to this exact day. Now, that not trying to be overdramatic when it comes to the Trump-Iran negotiations, but as you can tell by the things he's saying publicly, which we'll get to in a moment, Donald Trump is well aware, you're not informing him of anything. He is well aware that he has to get this wrapped up. That is why he has multiple times now extended the ceasefire. Hey, have you wondered why he keeps saying, I'm about to bomb you to smithereens. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to bomb you. And then out of nowhere, we just had a great talk. You know what? I'm extending the ceasefire. Great talk. It couldn't have gone better. I feel like, why is he doing this? Donald Trump does not want to, quote, bomb Iran back to the Stone Age. I realize you may want that, depending on your feelings on the region. It's hard to like Iran and the lying, murderous, jihadi scumbags who run Iran. Very, very difficult to like that. So I know it's not a question of whether you like Iran or not. Maybe you do think an appropriate use of the United States military is to launch an all-out war on Iran and until the regime is completely gone. Maybe you do. It's not my job to tell you how to feel. But I am telling you right now, that is not what Donald Trump wants to do. That has not historically been his foreign policy. He has criticized other presidents who have used that kind of foreign policy. Go somewhere, regime change, you get bogged down, it's disastrous. That's never been Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants, wanted, but still wants in Iran exactly what happened in Venezuela. Granted, on a larger scale, but that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants to go over there. He wants to drop a couple bombs, whip a couple people in the rear end, and then turn around and come back home. You get all the blessings of a victory parade in the military, and you don't get anybody throwing rotten tomatoes at you because you didn't stay for a long time. The country didn't tire of it. Get over there, beep, 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 couple bombs, and come home. That's what Donald Trump wants. It's obvious that's what he wants. It's obvious that's what he's working for here. Donald Trump wants a deal. He wants a deal to get out. He knows he has to get out. Again, economically, he has to get out. Politically, especially, he has to get out. Militarily, I don't know. I don't want to say that. I don't know what Iran has been given by China or Russia by now. I don't know about that. But politically and economically, he has to get out. I think he's stressed out of his mind, and I totally get it. I'll read you exactly what he's written, and it'll take me a minute in a second before I get to that. Do you run a business? Are you tired of dealing with multiple insurance companies, multiple different policies? You can't ever even really get a clear answer on what is covered, what is not covered. Why is that? These insurance companies just sell these blanket plans. They don't even really understand the value of your business. Hey, here, take the blue plan. Well, that might overinsure you or underinsure you. You don't need the blue plan. You need something for you. Super Sure takes all that away. One super agency. They will, by the way, at no obligation, they'll give you a full report on what you currently have. At least go do that. But one agency that will find you the right plan for you, and by the way, every plan for you. You just deal with Super Sure. Let them handle everything else. They make it easy. Save you time. Isn't that the best? Here's what you do. Go to supersure.com/Jesse. Supersure.com/Jesse. All your policies in one place. Paid for by Super Sure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats. I will get to those in a bit. I wanted to cover a couple things quickly here. Trump is at a moment, and I want you please to pray for this country. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for the negotiations. He is at a moment that is unbelievably important, and he knows it. We have all these headlines from over the weekend. Trump says the U.S. seized an Iranian flag cargo ship and blew a hole in the engine. Iranian military threatens action against the U.S. after the vessel was seized. Iran must sign or lots of bombs will drop, Trump is saying. This is just headlines. Iran says no decision has been made about even attending the second round of peace talks. All these things. Now, I mentioned earlier that moment. That moment where you're the general and your army's there and the general is on the other side and his army's there and they're about to start exchanging swords and spears. And if you win, you get to be king. And if you lose, they're going to flay you alive. What does that moment feel like? I'm not saying that is the moment Donald Trump is having right now, but Donald Trump knows that now he has to make a deal with the evil, lying scumbags in Iran. Not ideal, right? You don't want to have to deal with these people. He does not, you may, Trump does not want to let the bombs rain down. If the bombs start raining down, the economic problems Americans are currently having will get much worse. And politically, that is a disaster. It is a disaster. Politically, it means that these people are coming back to power.
And now we need folks who are willing to rip ICE apart to start.
That's what it means. Trump knows that. Economically, it's bad. And I think he's stressed out of his mind. This is just, I'm just going to read them all. I'll just read them as he said it. Now, these are not necessarily in order, but this is Trump in the last, I think, 8 hours, 10 hours, publicly. The Iranian leadership has forced hundreds of ships towards the United States, mostly Texas, Louisiana, and Alaska, to get their oil. Thank you very much. And then the next one. I'm winning the war by a lot, and things are going very well. Our military's been amazing. If you read the fake news like the failing New York Times, the absolutely horrendous and disgusting Wall Street Journal, or the now almost defunct and fortunately Washington Post, you would actually think we're losing the war. The enemy is confused because they get these same media reports, and yet they realize the Navy has been completely wiped out. Their Air Force has gone on to darker runways. They have no anti-missile or anti-plane equipment. I mean, he just goes on and on and on. They're losing $500 million a day in an unsustainable number, even in the short run. The anti-American media is rooting for Iraq. Okay, he keeps going. He dropped this doozy out there this morning. This is all within the last 8 hours. Israel never talked me into the war with Iran. The results of October 7th, adding to my lifelong opinion that Iran can never have a nuclear weapon, did. I watch and read the fake news, pundits and polls in total disbelief. 90% of what they say are lies and made-up stories, and the polls are rigged, much as the 2020 presidential election was rigged. Just like the results of Venezuela, which the media doesn't like talking about, the results in Iran will be amazing. And if Iran's new leaders are smart, Iran can have a great and prosperous future. Another one. This is 8 hours. Iran decided to fire bullets yesterday in the Strait of Hormuz, a total violation of the ceasefire agreement. One was aimed at a French ship. This is a long one. I'm not even going to go into it. No more Mr. Nice Guy. They'll come down fast. Another one. Democrats are doing everything possible to hurt the strong position. Despite World War I lasting 4 years and three... He loves this. He goes on to list how long the Korean War and everything lasted. Another one. I'm not done. This is another long one I won't read all of. The deal that we're making with Iran will be far better than the Barack Obama nuclear... Post after post after post after post in the last 8 to 10 hours. I believe that Donald Trump is understandably feeling like he is on that battlefield right now, watching the armies about to clash. Only it's not a battle that he's looking for. A battle with Iran is something we would simply win. Iran can't withstand the United States of America's military. If those bombs start dropping on Iran, he is going to watch America's economy suffer for it. He is quite smart. He understands. He sits in the White House because people thought he was going to make things more affordable and make the economy better. If those bombs start raining down, people are not going to take kindly to it. He is well aware that this whole thing is deeply unpopular. He knows this. He wants to wrap it up. What I'm asking for is you to pray that we get a good resolution here. With what, Chris? What? Well, that's Chris said, well, he can't say no. They only respect strength. Well, look, as we discussed before, he's called off a couple other bombing runs because he's trying to get a deal. He wants to get a deal to come home. If you call off too many, the Iranians are going to start to catch on, if they haven't already, that this guy doesn't want the bombs to drop. It gives them leverage. That's why he keeps putting out public statements. I'll kill you all, or we could have a deal. I'll murder your whole population, or you could get rich. He's trying to force this thing through. Stressed out of his mind right now. Could you imagine that kind of pressure? Pray. Let's do some emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. This is an introduction. Somebody came out to this at the Democrat convention in Michigan. We're doing great. Hey, Jesse. Yesterday, you explained why Swalwell won't turn on Democrats, daring to expose the other evils. I reflected on this, and I wonder if this loyalty is in part the reason why Republicans don't come down harder on the crimes committed by Democrats. The recent DOJ exposure of the whistleblowers... Okay, so why don't Republicans come down harder. Well, there's a few different reasons to this. We like one simple answer lots of the times, but sometimes it's not simple. One, let's get this one out of the way right off the bat. Some Republicans in power, why won't they smash Democrats for the evil things Democrats are doing? Because some Republicans are corrupt and evil too. And their crimes are known. And if they get in there and they start being the moral crusader, trying to clean out all the gunk, their crimes may come to the surface. Trying to think of the name of the Al Pacino movie. For some reason, I can't think. Serpico? Maybe Serpico, I think. Anyway, there's an Al Pacino movie. What's that, Chris? Not Sicario, idiot. Look up. It's an older Al Pacino movie. That may not be right. I think I just said it wrong. Everyone who's seen the movie is now screaming at me. Anyway, he's a good cop walking into a corrupt police department. And there's all kinds of lines that are really great from that movie. But the thing about doing something like that, because he wants to clean up the police department, the thing about doing something like that, what's the name of the movie, Chris? Serpico. Okay, that's what I thought. The thing about being the crusading cop who wants to get all the dirty cops out of there is you better be sparkling clean yourself. You don't get to have an extra beer at a bar somewhere. You don't get to step out of the line one little bit. Because if you do, then the corrupt people will find it, threaten to expose it, and the crusade stops. How many Republicans in the House or Senate, maybe even Republicans in the White House, I'm talking about all the staffers, the various people, how many have something ugly they can't afford to come to light? Well, there's that. You got to talk about that. Then I have to come back to this point over and over again, and we hate it, and I hate it, but we should talk about it. If you are inside of the palace, you are eating well. Steak dinners, life is good. You're not stressed about paying the bills. You do media appearances. You go places and people want to take pictures with you. If you're inside power, if you're inside the palace, are you really that motivated to blow the palace up? Are you that motivated to change the way everything is done? These people, and every politician does it. They run on, especially on the right, though. They run on, I'm gonna clean out the corruption. I'm gonna drain the swamp. I'm gonna take these crooks and I'm gonna throw them in prison. You send me into that palace and I am gonna fix it. I'm going in there with a mop to clean up this sewage. And then you get in the palace and the bed is really comfy. They even have a lovely robe for you. Lobster and steak, pretty delicious. You look around and think, do I really want to blow it up or am I happy here? There are a lot of Republicans who know how to talk to you and me. They know the right language to use. I'm going to fix it all. I'll drain the swamp. But they get there and they lose it. Jesse. A lot of times I hear about Democrats who won't release murderers and rapists to ICE for deportation. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me for us to deport them to, let's say, Guatemala, where we have no assurance that they will be punished. As much as I hate to pay for incarcerating scum, we need to make sure they're punished. This is what I've brought up before, and you're 100% right on this. We see these people. Every day there's a headline of some guy who murders somebody or robs somebody or rapes somebody, deported twice, deported three times. And have you ever looked around and seen that and said, what, how, what happened? Well, if you throw him on a plane and you fly him back to Guatemala, I promise you the same smuggler who got him into the country before is still in business. He goes down to Guatemala and he picks up the phone and he says, hey, Pedro, I got to go back to America. You still doing it? And right back to America he comes. This is why the Jesse Kelly penal colony policy is the one we should enact in this country, and I'm not even close to getting. There has to be some pain visited on people who come here illegally so they won't be tempted to do it again. Throwing handcuffs on someone for 48 hours and then flying them back to Guatemala, that is not punishment. Now, you put somebody in a hard labor prison camp for a year or two, breaking rocks, making license plates, then you send them back to Guatemala. Well, maybe that guy thinks to himself, I would really like to never do that again, so I'm not going back there. There has to be some sort of a disincentive. Deporting people is not a disincentive. It is not. It's a plane ride. Jesse, you are the rabid anti-communist hellion and my spirit animal. What's hellion mean, Chris? Can you look that up? H-E-L-L-I-O-N. So many conservative voices are no longer recognizable to me. I'm no DJT, that's Trump fangirl, but he's pulled us out of the sharp tailspin, a.k.a. Biden. Oh, it's an unruly person. Okay, all right. You call balls and strikes with the voice of reason I can't relate to. She goes on to name some people she doesn't like. Will you remain the last man standing for us, or are the demons and wizards hot on your tail too? Love Medal of Honor Monday, so on and so forth. Says her name is Dawn. Dawn, I'm going to disappoint you at some point. Here's why I know I'm going to disappoint you at some point. I don't have any intention of selling out or anything like that, but radio is very intimate. Podcasting, however you're listening, it's very intimate. As I've discussed with you before, I do things with you. It becomes part of your day. I drive with you. I work out with you. I'm at work with you. I make dinner with you. I'm there in your ear doing these things. And because I talk to you for 3 hours a day, you know me. You know exactly who I am. You know what I like. You know what I dislike. You know the name of my wife and my kids. You know what I eat. You know where I live. You know what my concealed carry weapon is. You understand exactly who I am. But the reason you understand exactly who I am is every day when I sit here and try to make your day a little bit better, more informative, laugh a little bit, maybe we'll cry a little bit, it's because I tell you exactly what I'm thinking about on that day. But you and I are different people. You're your own person with your own thoughts, motivations, and goals. I'm different than you. Not better, not worse. Just different than you. So there's going to come a time when I sit down here and I say something that's going to make you really, really, really mad because that's how I feel. And on that day, maybe that's the day you hit the power button on the radio. You never come back. Or maybe you're mad for 24 hours. Come roll it on back. I don't know. But what I can't do is not do that. Does that make sense? I know that's probably a double negative, but I can't not be honest with you because you would smell it and that you would hate more than anything else. I hate abortion more than anything else. I hate that we just butcher babies in this country and it is somehow acceptable to so many people. What a terrible, terrible thing. And I love that we have companies like Preborn who are out there trying to stop it. It's really important that we stop it just for the moral fabric of the country. But how do we do it? Why aren't we? Look, we're banning it. Why do we have more abortions than ever? Because we have to change hearts. We change hearts by introducing a mother to her baby with an ultrasound. It is from God when she hears that heartbeat. You see her face light up and she chooses life almost every time. Preborn is giving the gift of life, and they can only do it with your support. That ultrasound costs $28. Can you buy one? It's a life. You buy a life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, fantastic Monday. There is something huge happening in Virginia right now. Remember, you can email us your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. What's happening in Virginia? Virginia is a pretty purple state. You can go either way. Well, Democrats are trying to basically eliminate all Republican seats. I think they're going to leave one in Virginia. That's what they're trying to. Tim Kaine went on Fox News and was asked about this. Hey, Tim Kaine, why?
The state is relatively split with a left lean, but 90% of House members from Virginia being from one party?
90% of Virginians are not Democrats. That's true.
Correct.
But about 100% of Virginians want election results to be respected. We're deeply worried that Donald Trump will try to interfere with the election results this November or in 2028 because we saw him do it before. And we have to have a Congress that will stand up to it. In 2021, all five Republicans in Virginia went along with Donald Trump in his effort to overturn election results. And so we're giving Virginians a chance to vote, which Republican states have not done, about whether they want to have a congressional delegation that will stand up against Donald Trump's tyranny.
The entire history of communism is communists doing something reprehensible and saying, you gave us no choice. You gave us no choice but to do this terrible thing. Yes, this thing we're doing, it's terrible and wrong, but we had no choice. The situation is just so dire. You are so evil. Things are so bad that we have to kill a bunch of people. We have to arrest a bunch of people. We have to stop you from saying this. No, I love the First Amendment, but the truth is, things are so bad, I have to arrest you for saying that. Look, I love the Second Amendment. I hunt deer. But the truth is, you are so dangerous. Things are so bad. I have to take your gun away. Yeah, it's true that redistricting out all Republican legislation from Virginia, yeah, it's true that that doesn't represent Virginia. But the truth is, things are so dire, so dangerous. I have no choice.
The state is relatively split with a left lean, but 90% of House members from Virginia being from one party?
90% of Virginians are not Democrats. That's true.
Correct.
But about 100% of Virginians want election results to be respected. We're deeply worried that Donald Trump will try to interfere with the election results.
Look, Trump is so dangerous. So bad. Such a, what do they call him? Threat to democracy. We have to arrest him. We have to steal election seats. We have to do every kind of evil thing because we have no choice. Here was Barack Obama's AG, Eric Holder.
The Democrats can certainly win if it's a fair fight. And the question I have...
It wasn't going to be a fair fight in Virginia?
No, it wasn't going to be a fair fight nationally if you try to steal seats in Texas, in North Carolina, and in Missouri. And so the question I have for people who are critical of that, which we're doing, is what were we supposed to do? Nothing. Just allow them to try to stack the deck, to try to steal seats. And all we're trying to do is meet them and try to make the system as fair as it possibly can be. And that's all that this is about.
We had no choice. You forced us into it. If you weren't so evil, we wouldn't have to do this thing. Now, speaking of Democrats, let's look back, shall we? Why am I so desperate to do things like come home from Iran? It's not because I love Iran. It's because I know that economically we can't afford a war there because then we'll get wiped out. Now, what will happen at the polls if we get wiped out? Well, let's look back at what happened before.
We audited New York in 53% of the licenses, commercial driver's licenses, issued to foreigners. 53% were issued illegally, contrary to our rules.
I think stopping Democrats from coming to power in the United States of America is more important than Iran having a nuclear weapon, and I mean it. This guy's about to be a senator from Michigan.
It's just the same lack of courage that Democrats deploy to argue as to why they should be taking money from corporations or why they should be hedging their bets on clear, obvious policies like abolishing ICE or guaranteeing health care through Medicare for All. And I think what you're seeing in this race right now is that people are sick and tired of the same old Democrats who lack courage.
Nearly 10% of babies born in the U.S. under the Biden administration were anchor babies. 10%. Last time they got elected, 10% of the country was remade. 10% of the country. You realize how high that percentage is? Make that another 4 years. Another 8 years. That is the unmaking, complete, the unraveling, if you will, of the United States of America. These people are evil. And stopping them from coming back to power has to be priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And if prices continue to go up and the jobs market continues to be crappy, if those things are true, voters are going to punish the Republican Party for it. Here's Jerome Powell.
The thing that I think good number of people on the committee are concerned about is just the very, very low level of job creation. If you adjust what has been the trend job creation over the past, let's say, 6 months, if you adjust that for what we think, our staff thinks, is the overstatement due to overcounting, effectively there's zero net job creation in the private sector.
We can turn that around. We must turn that around. The people who are looking for work or have someone close to them looking for work, if they start to hear things like, I got a job, I got a call back, I got this, I landed something good. If they start hearing things like that leading up to November, we have an opportunity to hang on to things. If the costs stay high or, God forbid, go higher than they already are, and that phone doesn't ring when you're looking for a job, well, what kind of things might we be in store for? Our old friend James Carville came out and stated it publicly. Would you like to hear? Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.